This is Caregiver's Compass, an uplifting podcast all about the ins and outs of caregiving for a loved one. Tips, tricks, true stories, and experts. It's all here on Caregiver's Compass. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Caregiver's Compass. My name is Stephanie Muscat. I am a registered social worker and psychotherapist. Please note that this episode is not the act of psychotherapy. We are back. I can't believe it. We're on season 4 of Caregiver's Compass. If you would have told me a few years ago when I launched this podcast that we would be here, I wouldn't have believed you. And when I tell you that the guests we have coming on this season are beyond my wildest hopes and dreams, I can't, some of the people that are coming on, I truly can't believe that they are coming on. I'm in disbelief. I cannot wait for you to see what's coming this season. I've done a lot of crowdsourcing on social media to ask what topics you're looking for and what topics resonate. And we're going to give you exactly what you want this season. And I hope that it brings you peace, and I hope it brings you comfort. I hope you can relate to the topics. And if you're listening and you have ideas, we are still recording all the way up to the fall. So if you don't hear something that you want, or you want your idea heard, please, please, please tell me, because this is for you and I want to give you exactly what you want. So feel free to send me an email or write to me on Instagram and let me know if you have something that isn't here. So we're going to get right back into it. And this topic is one that a lot of people were interested in hearing about. And so I'm excited to bring it to you. And I hope that it provides you with some information to give to others in your life. Today, we're going to talk about how other people can support you as the caregiver. I think we know very well by now that caregivers are not always the best at asking for help, or they are not the best at putting their own needs first. And when it comes to a caregiver's needs and your own needs, they're really, really important. Really important. I can't stress that enough. And I think that theme has been ongoing throughout this podcast and all, on all my social media platform channels. And so we need to learn how to ask other people for support, because we can't do this in isolation. It used to be that we would be in groups, you know, back in the day, whether you're thinking about hunter-gatherer times or other times in the past, we wouldn't have been caring for somebody in isolation. And the difference these days is that caregivers often are caring in isolation, or people are so distant from one another that there may be a main caregiver, and then they may rely on someone else who is doing some here and some there, but there's usually one or two people who are the primary people involved. So how can those people possibly do the work of what used to be huge communities back in the day? The answer is they can't. And that's why we see so much burnout and so much stress and so much anxiety and so much depression. And that's why I see the clients that come to me, because it is impossible. So today, whether you're a caregiver or somebody who is trying to support a caregiver, we are going to talk about how to support a family member or a friend who is a caregiver. And you can use this either as a topic to share with someone else. You can send them the link to this episode and say, hey, can you please take a listen? I think that this would really help. And I can't really communicate this in words, or I don't have time to communicate this in words. And if you are someone who's looking to support a caregiver today, I hope that this episode provides some answers to some questions we have. Because when it comes to knowing that someone in your life is a caregiver, or if you're a caregiver and you have others in your life who you don't feel know how to approach you, it is pretty foreign. Unless someone's gone through it themselves, it is a pretty foreign thing. And people don't know how to approach it. And as caregivers, we can be going through so much stress that it can seem as though we don't want anybody to talk to us. We don't want anyone to engage with us. But it's quite the opposite. We really do want that. And if we're really struggling, we need it more than ever. And even if we are putting up our guard and it seems that we don't really want anyone to come into our lives, that's when we need that support more than ever. So I'm going to give a few suggestions in this episode. And obviously, every caregiver is different. It's not going to meet the needs of every person, but I think it gives a pretty good overview of how to support the caregiver in your life. Okay. And the first thing I want to say is that if you have a caregiver in your life who is not acting the way that they used to act, maybe they're not answering text messages they used to answer, they're not answering their phone, they're not replying to you the way they used to, they're not going out with you the way they used to, they just seem different, we need to take the personalization of that away. This person is probably going through a very life-changing event where their whole world has shifted. The person in front of them that they knew one way is now entirely different. They don't know what's going to happen in their future. They don't even know what's going to happen this afternoon. And so if that person is not acting like their normal self when you see them or engage with them, it does not mean they don't like you. And a lot of times it means that they really, really either need a break, they're struggling, they're trying to process something, they're trying to come to terms with whatever's going on, or they might not even know what they need, okay? But we've got to take the personalization out of it, and I get it. It can be really, really hurtful and really painful when you are reaching out to someone and they seem different. So what you can do in this situation, I always say, ask. Communicate and ask, because it's one thing if someone's acting different and you pull away and just assume that there's a problem with them or they don't like you or they're mad at you. If you ask, you're giving that person an opportunity and a chance to share, a chance to open up, maybe not in the way that you would hope, but a chance for them to say, you know what, right now I'm really struggling. I'll get back to you when I can. If you're persistently reaching out and they're not answering, it's a different story. And we're not going to talk about that topic today. We will talk about that in another episode, though. But I would say ask. Ask if they're okay. Ask what's going on. And even suggest things that you're able to do. You can always say, for example, something like, hey, I've noticed that you're not replying as much, or I've noticed that you're acting a bit different, and I understand this can be a really difficult time for you. I'm going to come by tomorrow and bring you something, or I'm around on Thursday. Let's go for a walk. If you ask for someone to come to you and tell you what to do, they're likely not going to do it. A, they're going to have a lot of trouble asking for help. B, they're really overwhelmed and they might not even think about it. They might not know what they need. So suggesting and actually showing up are some of the best things that you can do. Offer instead of waiting is what I say. And offer concrete, tangible things. If the person has children, one of the best things you can do when someone has a child, whether they're caring for another child, whether they're caring for a parent, you know, someone's in the hospital and they have to run back and forth, you can offer respite. Respite is huge because it gives that person a break from having to think about how they're going to care for the child. It gives that child an opportunity to be with someone fun, who's not stressed, who doesn't seem all emotional. So it gives the child a bit of a break. And this can look like picking the child up from school. It can look like running errands. This can be so much more helpful than anything else that you can do. And I bet that the caregiver will be so thankful that you said that. Hey, let me pick up Johnny tomorrow from school. You know, I'll bring them home. I'll give them a meal. I'll put them to bed. It takes so much off of the caregiver. And they might also be able to use that as respite themselves. And maybe they can do something for themselves. Sometimes caregivers are caring for more than one person. And it's really, really hard for them to think outside of that. And so if that's the case, for example, sandwich generation caregivers are caring for children and parents, they may be depleted and exhausted. They may not have capacity to talk to anybody else. Just know that you're still important to that person. They may not even be able to track a timeline in terms of when they spoke to you last. They're not aware of that. They don't even have the capacity to think about anything outside of themselves. They can't think of themselves. So I would say, you know, give yourself permission to let go of any ill feelings towards them, thinking that they're different, they're never going to be the same. They likely will come back to being the person that you knew. It's just going to take time. They might be in the acute stages of going through something really hard and really serious right now. And it's very difficult to balance all of that.
Okay, so I'm adding in a piece here because I wanted to clarify something in this next part of the episode. I say that this person will likely go back to the way they were before. And as much as we hope that this is the case, sometimes it is the case that they don't, and that the situation they've been in has been prolonged for so long, has changed who they are. They may require additional supports, and at the end of it all, they may present differently than the person you knew before this all happened. And I just wanted to clarify that piece because although that's the hope, it's not always the outcome. So thank you for listening to that extra piece, and let's get back to the episode.
If you're reluctant or you don't know how to show up, you don't know if you can do all of the things that we've said today, or maybe you really want to be there, but you just don't think you can help out. You might have things going on in your own life too, and that's okay. Please do not suggest or offer to do things without having the intention to follow through, because that can be so painful to a caregiver. If you reach out and say, I'm there whenever you need me, I'm going to support you however you want me to. You need help with your kids? Do you need me to watch your mom? Do you need me to tend to your sister? No problem. I will be there. Nothing hurts more when they reach out and they say, hey, I need that support. And you say, oh, sorry, I can't actually do that for the next 4 months. And I wish I was joking when I said that, but I've experienced that myself where someone has come forward and said, hey, put me down on that list. I will be there no problem next Tuesday. And I say, hey, I need you next Tuesday. And they're like, oh, sorry, I forgot to tell you I'm on vacation. Nothing hurts more than that in those moments because people will rely on you. So please, if you can't actually follow through, don't say empty things because someone may actually come back to you and want that. And if you can't do that, it's going to put them in a feeling of loneliness and isolation, which you didn't intend to do at all. But that's where they go because they're already feeling likely very lonely and isolated. They don't feel like they're living the life other people are living right now. They can't believe they've been thrusted into this situation. They don't know how to possibly tackle everything going on in their life. And they just need to know that you're there. And so if you say you're there and you can't be there, it hurts even more. and they may pull away even more. So if you can't do it, it's fine. There usually is not an expectation, but if you do offer something, make sure you can follow through and ask the best type of support you can provide so that you're matching their needs. There's so much more I can say on this topic, and really this is skimming the surface, but I wanted to give an overview because obviously you're trying to support and you probably don't have, you know, hours of time. And I also want to say that if you're listening to this episode, the person you're wanting to support really appreciates that you're wanting to support them. And the person you're trying to understand really appreciates that. So thank you for being here. Thank you for wanting to show up, and thank you for showing up. It's really appreciated by the person that you care about. And with that, another episode, another season has started. If you want to learn more about us, if you want to see all of the things we're posting, if you want to follow us, go to our Instagram at Compassion and Caregiving. Check out our website. We now offer caregiving coaching all across the world and therapy in Ontario and Alberta if you're looking for specific support. And we'll see you next week. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to Caregiver's Compass. If you've enjoyed this episode, please leave us a review. Your ratings and reviews help more people like you find our podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and share this episode with someone you think would love it. I'm Stephanie Muscat. Have an uplifting day, and I'll see you next time.